Troy Reich is set to join us now, and we always enjoy our weekly conversations with our Denver 7 Broncos insider, presented by ROX Rocks Heating and Air. And, Troy, just before the break, and Orlando has much more to say on this subject, and that will be coming up in just a few moments here, but I wanted to get your reaction to the gut punch story of the week in the NFL for us around here. Greg Knapp dying from injuries sustained when he was hit by a car while bicycling over the weekend in California at the young age of 58. And I know you were around Greg Knapp when he was the quarterback's coach here, who managed, I thought, brilliantly the transition in 2015. At least he helped to manage it from Peyton Manning to Brock Osweiler and then back to Peyton Manning again for the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, as when you cover an NFL team, your access to the assistant coaches is not ideal. But the difference with Greg Knapp is that he always made a point when he'd walk by us, an engaging smile, hello, how you doing, and have a short conversation. He was just an eternal optimist. And players would tell me the same thing. Like, he was the guy that showed up in the building, and you couldn't help but be in a good mood when you're around him. And you're right, he had to navigate a very tricky situation with Manning, kind of be a little bit of a buffer there with Gary Kubiak, you know, that it was a very awkward situation there for a bit, both with the offense they were running and then Peyton's injury. But it's just really hard to believe that Greg Knapp is gone, because he was, in life there are fountains and drains in, you know, in rooms, and Greg Knapp was a fountain in every room he walked into. So it's just really hard to stomach that he's gone.
So in 2016, we saw Coach Knapp, you know, coach up a seventh-round pick in Trevor Siemian. And you look at Trevor Siemian's numbers that year. They didn't say, hey, this is a seventh-round pick, or this is a guy that we don't believe in, we're not going to throw the ball that much. Broncos tried to throw the ball 486 attempts that year. Mm-hmm. You know, that each attempt, you know, Greg Knapp had a touch on that, because your quarterback coach had to believe in Trevor Siemian mm-hmm. to do that. So a lot of people talk about him being around the greats, but just really want to talk, what did you see that year when you were around this Broncos organization, when he had to prepare a young Trevor Siemian? And you could say that was some success. I would take a Trevor Siemian year here with the Broncos. I would definitely take that type of
yes.
year.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, that's what Knapp at heart. He was a coach. He loved to coach. And yeah, there's some ease in coaching a Peyton Manning. There's also some difficulty in coaching a Peyton Manning.
Yep.
In Trevor Siemian's case, Trevor Siemian thought his career was over in college. He had no real aspiration to play pro football. And then he gets hurt, and then he has a tryout. Next thing you know, he's starting for the Broncos following the Super Bowl title. And not a lot of the credit, but at least a chunk of that credit goes to Greg Knapp to get Trevor ready. And Trevor is one of the brighter guys I've ever covered. He's diligent in his work. But that's what you're speaking of, is coaches, the best coaches I've ever been around, they're chameleons in a way that, you know, whether it's the last guy on the roster or the first guy, they will adapt and coach them up instead of, because I've been around coaches that only want to coach stars because they make them look good, and they don't have time for the guy at the bottom of the roster. Hey, let's go do some red zone drill after practice. Like, nah, I'm good. And I've seen that in Major League Baseball, where the last guy in the roster can't get a coach to throw in BP after a game because that coach sees no credit in it. Greg Knapp was a coach's coach. He loved it. He loved everything about it. And he didn't become a curmudgeon. I mean, the hours those guys put in is just insane. And he was never that. Like, you'd see him, and he just looked bright, fresh, smiling. And that's hard to do when you're working 12, 14 hours a day, grinding all the time in a very, very intense industry where you're evaluated on 3 hours every Sunday. He just was, again, he was a coach's coach in that way.
Troy, we know the Broncos drafted Pat Surtain, and we know that Kyle Fuller, certainly under Vic Fangio back in 2018, was a terrific player. What do you expect as training camp opens in less than a week from guys like Darby and Callahan?
Yeah, I mean, I just dropped a podcast about this, like guys who have to answer the bell for this team to end their 4-year losing streak, 5-year playoff drought. Kyle Fuller and Ronald Darby are on my list of five. And Fuller, can he get back to who he was in 18? He was one of the best cornerbacks, if not the best, that season in the NFL. He He hasn't been that guy since. And it's no coincidence, probably, he wasn't with Fangio. Can he get that back at his age after these last 2 years? Can he be that guy again? I don't even think he needs to be that guy. If he can just be in the conversation for the Pro Bowl, that's a huge, huge bonus for them. Darby is the guy who's played really well at times. He's strong in man coverage. I need to see how he adjusts to this, you know, quarters coverage they play, and it's kind of a quasi-matchup zone. But the key for Darby is really just when he gets his hands on the football to get picks. That's the one thing when you look at his resume, because he's good in coverage. He's just got to be, can he be a playmaker that leads to picks? But Surtain is going to play, whether they use four corners at times, whether he's in it. I'm just telling you, watching them in OTAs, and the fans will see it in camp, he's just unique. I'm not saying he's not going to have mistakes. Of course he's going to have mistakes. He's a young cornerback in a league that there's a million great receivers. But the point is, this kid isn't going to be eased in where, oh, maybe October we see what he looks like. He is going to be in there early, and he's going to be in there often. And they have a chance with that coverage group with throwing Jackson and Kareem Jackson and Justin Simmons to get takeaways. That's what everyone keeps saying. They're going to be a great defense. You can't be great without takeaways. But if they get this group together and the communication's clicking early, I'm telling you, they're going to get takeaways. It may not be the number we want if the offense isn't functional, but this group has a chance to be special, especially if it's a one-score game in the fourth quarter.
Troy, I want to just get your reaction on what came out, the kind of like the bombshell that NFL came out with yesterday, you know, reported by Tom Pelissero, that if a team has an outbreak, that now that team kind of forfeits that week and you don't get to play, but also players not really getting paid either. So just really want to kind of get your reaction to that. And, you know, for the listeners as well, you know, you could explain it on how you see this report and how it affects the NFL as well, Troy.
Yeah, I mean, really the summary is billionaires don't want you messing with their money. That's the quick Cliff Notes version, is we're not missing games, and if we miss games, it's on you, players, because there's a vaccine available. That's the message they sent without putting it in that language. But they're also saying that they're very contextual in this, that if there's an outbreak among unvaccinated players and they can't find a way to reschedule the game, then that team would forfeit the game and they would be responsible. They would not get their game checks and be responsible possibly even for some of the TV money. So there are huge financial consequences if there's an outbreak on a team among unvaccinated players. That's the caveat here. And some of the unvaccinated players have reacted, as I would expect, on Twitter. This is how society is. You know, we all have differences. But the NFL's message to them is, we're not punishing you. If you choose not to get vaccinated, you can live under last year's rules, which are mask everywhere, daily testing, you can't live together, you can't be in meeting rooms, you can't be on the road together, you can eat in your car during lunch, like that. You can be under last year's rules. That's what it is. It's the same as last year if you're unvaccinated. They have done everything to incentivize players to get vaccinated because they don't want outbreaks, they don't want to reschedule, and they don't want to miss games. And at this point, you know, if you're not vaccinated, you're in a slippery slope. And especially if you cost your teammates money. I mean, you saw Ezekiel Elliott say it yesterday. He's like, wait, what? It cost me a paycheck? I mean, listen, I would not want to be in that locker room if I was an unvaccinated player, 52nd guy on the roster that caused an outbreak and explained to my teammates why they missed a game check. I mean, that would not be comfortable. But my point of this is really this. They've incentivized it to the point where they're basically saying you need to do it without saying you have to do it. So, I mean, players can make their choices, but I'll say this, my final point on that. If you're between 47th on the roster to 53, and it comes down to between you and a guy who's vaccinated, do you think the coach is going to take the unvaccinated player? This is saying all things equal. Yeah. I just think as a player at the back end of a roster, I would be hand up, where do I get the shot? Because I'm telling you, without them saying it, there will be decisions made regarding competitive balance between players at the back end of the roster, between right. those who are vaccinated right. and those who are not, because they don't want to risk the last five guy on the roster yeah. creating an outbreak.
True.
That's my feeling. I don't know how you feel,
Troy, but what happens, does the same rules apply to players that are vaccinated? You know, as we know with COVID, people have been vaccinated and people have still contracted it. So where do you go from here? You know, I just think that the NFL just came out and right now I'm hoping that this is just a starting point. That's my feeling on, that's my stance, Troy. I hope it's a starting point. I hope now it opens up the back and forth conversation and they could get to a better resolution, because I don't think yesterday is perfect for what we're getting ready to go through for the next 19 weeks to get through a football season.
Yeah, well, they've delineated that if there's an outbreak among vaccinated players, that would not result in a forfeit. Yeah. Basically, the language is very specific. If there's an outbreak on a team caused by unvaccinated players, that's where they're going to drop the hammer on the team. You know, there's no way they're going to drop a hammer on a team if they are over 85% threshold and they have an outbreak, because they've met the threshold. They've done everything right. It's unfortunate. They're not going to have the same, they're not going to have the same opinion of that team if obviously it's among unvaccinated players. Oh, I mean, that's where it stands. They're not going to back down from this, because NFL billionaires are not about losing money. And that's where the unvaccinated issue comes into play. There's no way in my mind they'll cause a team to forfeit if they're at that 85% threshold and have an outbreak, which could happen.
Right.
There's just no way. They'd have leg to stand on.
Right. Thanks, Troy. We appreciate it. Great job.
You got it, guys.
As always, that's Troy Rank, our Denver 7 Broncos insider. Presented, as always, by ROX Rocks Heating and Air. Orlando Franklin on knew very well. Greg Knapp coming up very quickly.
Sandy, real quick, pre-Mike Kliss, Broncos have agreed to terms with second-round running back Javonte Williams on a four-year contract that includes a $3.81 million signing bonus. All 10 draft picks are now under contract from Mike Lister.
All right, very good. So camp opens on Wednesday, and everybody is signed, and we're all ready to go. Orlando and Greg Knapp next.